Short, funny social videos seem to be working for a lot of big brands. So, are you ready to rush out and convince your local dentist to shoot a saucy TikTok video to fetch more business? Well, most of us understand the dangers of applying nationwide data to a local market, yet it happens all the time and it can lead to some incorrect assumptions. In this episode, we examine the pitfalls of those assumptions. We'll also talk to Catherine Battalamonte, a digitally focused executive who will be taking over the reins as CEO of Graham Media. How will things change for Graham 7 TV stations? You'll find out on this episode.
Welcome to the Local Marketing Trends Podcast, bringing you unique insights from two of the industry's brightest analysts and forecasters, Corey Elliott and Gordon Burrell. Today's podcast is sponsored by Conduit Digital, your elite performance partner for white-label digital marketing, and the Media Audit, providing market-level consumer insights for more than 20 years. And now, here are your hosts, Corey and Gordon.
What is up, everyone? It's me, Corey Elliott, one of the hosts of this podcast, along with a world-renowned man about town, Gordon Burrell. Are you world-renowned, Gordon?
Probably. I spoke in Australia, so that's around the world, isn't it?
And, sure, but I guess it depends on what the definition of renowned is.
Renowned. As I get older, I'm getting rounder, so maybe that's rounder. I don't know. Anyway, we're talking about TikTok, you know, in this episode, and I have to tell you, the other night, I sat there on TikTok. My daughter sent me one of the little URLs of TikTok, and it's happened before. I spent, before you know it, 20 or 30 minutes watching TikTok. That's ridiculous. You look at that one and you go, oh my God, that's funny. And then there's another one, oh, that's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Then you watch one over and over again. It's addictive. It's crazy.
Absolutely addictive. It brings together so many different things. Short format, video, content creation. It's memes come to life kind of a thing. It has everything.
Yeah. And listen to eMarketer. And you might assume that all businesses are now using TikTok. They just came out with a stat last week, said that 41% of businesses are using TikTok in 2021.
Yeah. So everybody's out there, right? Well, at least one out of five businesses in your market using TikTok.
Not so. What did our survey show?
Oh, gosh. It was like about 4%, maybe scaring the hell out of 5%.
Maybe. Yeah, but it doubled. It doubled in a year. Yeah. So it's coming. You know, it's not to denigrate eMarketer or, you know, anybody trying to figure out how to use TikTok. National trends always precede local trends. And there is growth there. We saw agencies, 17%?
Yeah, it was greater than a local individual business. So, you know, agencies are pulling it along. But things take a while to get to Main Street. So things you read about in headlines in the big, you know, advertising age or anything like that, it isn't necessarily happening to the dry cleaner down the street.
Yeah, here's another one, podcasting. We're about to publish our big annual report for the RAB, Radio Advertising Bureau, and we analyze podcasting, among many other things in the report. It's all digital trends. And you might think, reading all the headlines, that podcasting is the big, big thing and everybody's involved in podcasting. eMarketer says podcasting spending rose 51% to $1.3 billion. But it's not a thing at the local level, right?
It isn't. And it isn't widespread at the local level. And it's hard to get, you know, a whole lot of sponsorship at the local level as well.
Yeah. So when we did this, and I hope I'm not spilling the beans here, but in a little preview of the survey, it showed that while two-thirds, and this is of radio managers, while two-thirds of them, and they should really be at the forefront of podcasting, right? Because they know audio, they know radio. I know a number of newspapers are doing it, but let's look at the radio industry. Two-thirds of them have local podcasts. Yay! Only 20% of radio stations are actually producing a local podcast with advertising in it.
Yeah. Yeah. And only 9% it's like 9% of businesses say they're doing some kind of streaming audio. It doesn't necessarily mean podcasting, but they say some kind of streaming audio. And just like the TikTok stuff, local agencies are a little bit ahead. And, you know, there are more of them who are experimenting with digital audio, but it's not to the levels that we're seeing nationally. So therefore, it's the big brands driving this stuff.
So if you look again at eMarketer and podcasting, or what they call audio services ad spending, they said it rose by 16% last year. So did we. They said it was $5.6 billion. We went down at the local level, about $900 million.
Yep.
So how about OTT? There's another one.
Everybody's doing OTT. Absolutely everybody. If you read all the headlines, eMarketer said $60 billion in 2021. We estimated 70 million, or now, 70 billion.
So here we are saying that local trends, you know, okay, they lag and, you know, it doesn't quite get down to the local level right away. You know, very few businesses in Wyoming are TikToking, right? Okay. But with OTT, it's kind of reverse. And we've got actually more estimated, particularly down, you know, at the local level. Why is that?
Well, it's for a lot of reasons. And you can speak to your reasons. My reasons are, it's a definition, opportunity, not a problem, an opportunity. OTT, the way we're defining it, is any video delivered digitally. And we've said this before on the podcast. A lot of times when we say OTT, people automatically, bam, assume connected TV. It isn't necessarily so. So that accounts for some bigger dollars there in that bucket.
Yeah. And it's also, I think, when you have big national estimates coming in and then local really kicks in, what happens is the big national estimators actually don't see what's happening at the local level. They're using their estimates of, okay, we're going to look at what these big brands spent and what these big companies like Google or Amazon or others are getting. And then they really don't see all the little, you know, saplings, I guess. If you're looking at the forest from above and about an acre, you see a canopy of trees and you count them and you go, well, there's probably about 30 or 40 trees there. But if you're down on the ground, there's probably 100. And that's what we're seeing, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's that exceedingly long tail. And remember, digital video is becoming so easy to produce. I'm not saying anybody's producing it correctly, but for a local business, they could produce a how-to video in a second with a phone and get it out there in the world. It's really easy to do, and they understand people are engaged with it. So they're experimenting, and it's a very long tail driving some of those dollars too.
Yeah, smaller businesses. And I'm eager to get to the interview with Catherine Badalamente at Graham Media Group in a moment, but eager because TV is so challenged by particularly this OTT. OTT tends to be lower price, and it actually, most of the money in local markets appears to be coming from folks who've never advertised on TV. And television stations don't have relationships with them, and they're accustomed to getting bigger budgets, so they might turn up their noses at it. Now, you've got Catherine Badalamente, who was basically the chief digital officer for years and really driving the digital message at Graham, coming on board as a CEO. Boy, I bet you she's going to kick some ass at Graham. Can I say that?
Well, you did, so we'll edit it out in the mix. But yeah, it's really, we've known her for a number of years, and it's going to be really exciting to see how her outlook and her POV changes Graham, or does it?
A great person, very mature, very knowledgeable. So let's get to that interview right after this.
Conduit Digital is the elite white label digital marketing performance partner for successful agencies. We enable our partners to scale by acting as a certified expert extension of their in-house ad operations teams. If you're looking to solve hiring challenges, round out your suite of services, manage account overflow, or deliver best-in-class performance for clients, contact Conduit Digital. To learn more, visit conduitdigital.us.
If you're in advertising, you know how vital it is to have a good grasp of consumer behavior in your market. That's where the Media Audit comes in. The Media Audit provides data on consumer buying patterns and media consumption habits, accessible through an easy-to-use software platform. To learn how to access the data for your market, visit themediaaudit.com.
Okay, our guest today is Catherine Badalamente, who was named last week as the incoming CEO of Graham Media Group, a group that I'm very familiar with. We've had Donald Graham on the program before, and we've had outgoing CEO Emily Barr from Graham Media. And Catherine now has been named CEO. So Catherine, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Gordon.
Catherine, you've got a background in TV and TV sales. And business development, you've led the efforts at Graham and its predecessor, Post Newsweek stations, for about a dozen years. And as I can personally attest, you are just a great person. So I guess we'll call you Catherine the Great from now on.
Please don't do that.
Okay. Let's start with a question I'm burning to ask every time I hear someone with a great deal of digital experience like you who will be taking over the reins of a company like Graham with its seven TV stations. will you be driving Graham to a digital first company, as some other companies do, and having TV take a back seat?
So the way I look at it is that I never thinking about digital versus broadcast or TV taking a back seat. I have to remind myself that others aren't probably at the same stage as I am, and that I already think of our company as being a digital first company. I think that, you know, that shift happened a long time ago. And there probably are people at Graham who don't think of it that way. That's my job, to try to get them to understand that we are a digital first company and that we are not trying to compete between broadcast and digital, that we are using, you know, both sides of the business to frankly make the other side better.
Okay.
And so that, I think, is the experience, you know, the opportunity.
I heard you just say digital first company. Graham is a digital first company. Is that true?
From where I sit, yes.
Okay.
And the thing is that I acknowledge that there are, like I said, people within the company that don't think the same way I do. And that sometimes, I'm sure, I was speaking to one of my colleagues earlier and I said, I got a lot of messages from people who are on, you know, quote unquote, the digital side of the business, or that are digital leaders in the business. And they were all sending me notes of congratulations and saying, it's amazing to see someone from the digital side take on this role. And I said, I kind of had to, you know, take a step back and think about the fact that they're all thinking about it that way. And I don't think about it that way.
Yeah.
Because I look at both sides of the business constantly. I have one foot firmly set in, you know, my broadcast experience, and then one foot in the digital side. And I just see opportunity all across the board.
Yeah, it's a bit of a challenge, and it's change, which most people have a hard time with. And it's unfortunate, I think, when you say digital first, it sort of puts people on the defensive. And that's just unfortunate. It's not the way it should be. It's both, you know, sides, all assets of the company leading with digital. Makes good sense, because gosh, that's all advertisers seem to be talking about these days. So let's look back at your time developing Graham's digital efforts. What was the hardest thing about it? What did you enjoy? And what accomplishments were you most proud of?
The hardest thing is for people to maybe let go of their fear of change. And, you know, I feel like my entire career has been about change and embracing change and just seeing the opportunity that lies ahead. And so my brain is probably wired different than a lot of people. And so change, of course, is hard for a lot of people to embrace. So I'll definitely say that's been difficult. And that's across all aspects of our business, right? So my job, you know, has to do with sales and technology and programming and production and news. And so, you know, we have pockets of the organization that are adverse to change. And I think that one of the things that I'm most excited about in my new role is being able to try to get people inspired to try new things and not feel so afraid of the change.
Let's go back to TV broadcasting for a moment and talk about TV sales. There's some troubles there. Station audiences seem to be aging and maybe shrinking, at least in local, you know, prime time. Advertisers are warming up to these lower price, similar video products like OTT. So what's your take on the future of local broadcast TV programming, that side of the business?
So I'll try to answer this the best way possible, because you really want me to speak just about broadcast. And again, like I said, I don't think about broadcast singularly, but first and foremost, acknowledging, yes, there's challenges on the network prime side. There's challenges on the syndication side. I think that again opens the door for experimentation and local programming, which we've already started. A lot of the things that we just did this past year were, how do we sort of break the mold of how we do news and figure out new ways of being able to create compelling local content for our audiences? And using OTT and the OTT space is a great, you know, playground or sandbox to be able to say, let's try out new things. It's low risk. And then we can apply it to, you know, the broadcast side. So we are really focused on our audience, and we're really focused on being able to delight them and figuring out new ways that we can create programming that they can't find anywhere else, that allows us to be able to serve our communities and create great journalism and great entertainment programming and live programming. I'm really obsessed with the opportunity that we have on the live side. And I think that, yes, challenges are there, but if the pandemic taught us anything, it's the fact that our audiences need us and want us. And so we should be using that to propel all of our efforts going forward.
What do you mean by live programming? What type at the local level? Why does it excite you so much?
Well, it can be everything from, you know, we've seen the digital audience and the streaming audience respond when we just have every version of live programming. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but at the very, very lowest level, an airport cam gets an audience. And so I love this idea, and we've experimented with this and actually got a Google GNI grant for this, or YouTube GNI grant for this, which was about giving people a choose your own adventure. So it can be everything around. It's a hurricane and we have 10 different cameras, backpacks out on the street, and the audience can choose from 10 different live shots or 10 different live broadcasts that are coming either from the studio or from the field. So when you're talking about, you know, covering a big breaking news event, how exciting that is. But then if we actually look at, there's newsworthy events happening in every one of our cities every single day. And it can be as simple as a press conference from a local city government, or it could be a meeting of the council, or it could be everything from even a local spelling bee. And being able to bring that to the audience where they get to choose what view they want and figure out, you know, they're in the driver's seat, they get to figure out what's most important to them at that moment. That is something that we're really excited about experimenting with across all of our streaming platforms. And then, you know, we think that that's, you know, a really cool application for next-gen television.
That is such a great idea. That is really cool. So last question for you. Emily was such a force within the broadcast industry, and certainly within Graham. We really loved having her on the show. Everybody loves Emily. No pressure, Catherine. But a lot of people are fully expecting you to be as well, I'm sure. And I have no doubt that you will rise to that occasion. But assuming that'll be the case, what might be the subtle differences?
All right. So this is a hard question to answer. I first want to say that, like you said, Emily is beloved, rightfully so. And everyone was stunned when the announcement came, because I think we all thought we were going to have at least a couple more years with Emily. So just like everybody else, it was hard for me and bittersweet to have to overcome, because life at Graham without Emily is hard to imagine. It's a big job that I have in front of me. And part of the reason why is because Emily was so amazing. So subtle differences. The one thing I don't want to say it's a difference, because I think that Emily is very similar to me in the way she makes decisions. But one thing that I am obsessed about is data and using data to make decisions. I also really believe in creating processes and structure and being able to remove friction. You know, those are things that I can apply from the digital side, and being able to just make things easier for people by creating technology and different processes is really something that I think I can apply to our overall effort. And, you know, when I'm looking at data, what everything that we do, when we're looking at why should we do something, is this something to experiment with? You know, we really want to look at what's the outcome we're looking for and then measure ourselves constantly against that goal, and using data to be able to decide if we are doing the right things and how we can pivot against it. So I think that a lot of that has to do with my digital experience and being able to apply to everything that I'm doing now when it comes to the broadcast side of our business.
Catherine, thank you. We're really looking forward to watching that continued transformation, maybe even accelerated transformation under your reign, occur at Graham. So thanks for being on the show, and good luck in the future.
Thank you so much, Gordon.
Gordon, Catherine said a lot of great things in that interview, but I think my favorite was when you called her Catherine the Great and she just said, please don't do that. I think that was hysterical. I thought that was a great part of the interview. Anyway, you know what? A couple of things stood out to me that I think are really interesting. It was the focus Graham has put on live events and really maximizing it, because that's somewhere where a TV station can really play, and being so local, that's hard to duplicate, you know, from a national perspective.
Yeah, I was fascinated when I talked with her about it, and then thinking more about it, I don't know how they're going to pull that off. Yeah, of course, there are school board meetings. When was the last time you sat and watched a school board meeting, Corey? When was the last time you watched a city council meeting or, you know, some other government meeting? So maybe there are high school football games or something else that can go live. When was the last time you watched that? I can see in some of the markets that they're in, some of the bigger markets in Florida and in Detroit, Yeah, but you know, the smaller the market, the tougher it is to find something that's really going to draw attention for a live event. But I get it. I understand it. The video, the camera at the airport. Yeah, okay, that's kind of weird. But you know, that is a live event, isn't it? You're watching people at the airport.
Well, it takes all kinds, Gordon. But the other thing is, the way I took it is being your own kind of news director, right? If you set up four cameras and I can switch between them, well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's like traffic cams. Now, every big city has traffic cams. How cool is that to be able to go ahead? Here's our live view of, you know, whether it's snowing down there on the interstate and whether there's a big traffic jam, or, you know, here's that car the cops were chasing racing by at this particular moment. And we're going to follow it through the rest of the. Yeah, I think there's something there. I thought that was pretty cool. I guess what struck me most was her digital first comment that surprised me. I do think there are a few companies out there, not a lot. Town Square, the radio group, being one of them. Mm-hmm. And of course, Digital First Media, big newspaper group, being one of them. And then others sort of kind of have the mentality. But it raises hackles with folks when you say digital first, which means, okay, those longtime folks in TV are going to go, oh, wow, you know, okay, I'm second. But you know, I think everybody needs to buck up just a little bit and understand that this is what advertisers really want to talk about. And so if you have that mentality, it'll help you sell more TV. It'll help you look more like a progressive company. So I thought that was pretty refreshing to hear that.
Well, I think saying digital first at this point, and she kind of alluded to it, it's a way to pull the ones who are extremely over to non-digital first over to the center, because the ultimate goal is it's not digital or non-digital first. It's we're going to bring you customers through advertising, or we're going to engage people in the market regardless of the format. And I think that's where she's pulling it too.
Yeah, I would agree. It's going to be particularly tough for television, because if you look at our own charts on what advertisers spend on average, we survey several thousand advertisers every year. And then you sort it by the average amount spent on each medium. I think there are 19 or 20 of them that we, you know, have social media and radio and TV and outdoor and search, et cetera. TV by far is always at the top, with advertisers spending over $100,000 on it. And then you go down the list and all the others are $10,000 or $20,000 a year. So you think about that, and the sales reps and TV are accustomed to getting these really, really big contracts with these really big advertisers. And these really big advertisers tend to have agencies that are handling all their digital stuff. It's going to be tougher for TV than anybody else. But if anybody can do it and anybody can really drive that message home, I think it would be Catherine.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
Catherine the Great?
Yeah, please don't do that.
Corey, great. Had another great episode, I think, with you. We tackled a number of things. Really appreciate it. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Until next time.
You've been listening to the Local Marketing Trends Podcast, sponsored by Conduit Digital and by The Media Audit. If you have ideas for future shows or guests, email the hosts at podcast@burrellassociates.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, market well.